Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. It's good to see everyone smiling faces. It's good to have Justin and the kids here this morning. It's good to have my mom in service this morning. Amen. Everybody else, it was good to have Cheyenne and Tarek. Praise God. A second one, Pastor said, it's good to see, amen, these new faces. I know they're not totally new. We've seen them before, but that's all right. They're in God's house, and we're thankful for that. Amen. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Excuse me, verse 13. Let's jump to verse 13. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. I press toward the mark. I want to preach, if I could, this morning from that thought, from that those verses of Scripture, forgetting what's behind and pressing forward. Forgetting what's behind and pressing forward. Amen. Let's pray this morning and let's ask for God's help today. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we're so thankful, God, for your precious word, Lord, that you've given to us, God. God, it gives us understanding. It gives us a hope. It gives us direction, Lord God. We ask that you would anoint it to every heart and to every need that's represented in this house. Lord God, give us ears to hear your voice today. We'll be sure to give you all the glory. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated today. Praise God. God gave me this message, this thought about a week ago. Actually, it was Sunday, last Sunday afternoon. I was up here in the afternoon praying and seeking God's face, desiring God to drop a word on my heart. Amen. And there's times when I'm preparing that I know what direction I'm going. God speaks to me, and I know this is the direction, but there's other times that I have to press in a little bit further, and I have to press, and I have to seek God's face, and I have to continue to press until I get a hold of him. And I feel like God dropped this on my heart. So this isn't something that just came together in a few minutes, but it was something that God put together piece by piece in my mind. I've heard it said many times before that it can be a blessing when you have a good forgetter. Has anybody ever heard that saying? Having a good forgetter? Amen. Being able to forget things easily. Now, I'm not talking about what happens when you get older. I'm not talking about what happens when you aren't quite as sharp as you once were and you begin to forget things. I know I'm that way. If I'm on my job and somebody tells me something, I'm like, okay, send me an email or write it down for me, because by the time I get back to my office, I'm not going to remember what it is that you needed me to do or what it was that you were trying to tell me. That's not what I'm talking about today, but I'm talking about willingly and purposely forgetting things. Making up your mind that I'm not going to remember this thing. I'm not going to hold on to this thing anymore, but I'm going to get it out of my mind. I'm going to get it out of my thinking. Amen. If it's making a conscious effort to forget and to move on from the specific things that you don't want to hang on to anymore. And you know what? This can be difficult. This can be very difficult for us to forget. Amen. It can be difficult for us to forget the things that have happened in our past. Just like in the scripture that we read, Paul said that he does this one thing. The first step that he does, the first thing that he says that we must do if we're going to move forward is that we have to forget those things that are behind. We have to forget what is behind us. If we were to look into and read about the Apostle Paul, we can see that he had a lot of things that he was trying to forget about. There's a lot that's told about the Apostle Paul. Before he was called Paul, he was known as Saul. And the Bible says that as Saul, he was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader. He was a leader of his day. And in the times of Jesus, he was the one that was closest to God. In fact, he was probably one of the most zealous Pharisees of his day. Having zeal means that whatever he did for God, he did it with everything within him. He did it with might. He did it with gusto. He did it with strength. He gave his all into it. He was zealous towards God. And zeal can be a good thing. There's nothing wrong with zeal as long as you're in the will of God. As long as you're following after the will of God. But where did Saul direct his zeal? Where did he point this zeal that he had? More than anything, Saul desired to kill and destroy the Christians. He wanted to kill the followers of Jesus Christ, the people who had followed after him when he was upon this earth, and the people that were teaching what he had taught and telling people the good news of what he had did for them. Those are the people that Paul wanted to get rid of. That Saul, his name got changed later, all right? But that's the things that he wanted to do. He wanted to get rid of these people. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1 tells us, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest." This man had disgust and disdain for Christians. Amen. It was so much that it was emanating from deep down inside of him. It was coming up out of him. It was so deep embedded in him that it was coming out of, it was overflowing out of him. I can almost picture a man that was walking around madly, talking under his breath and saying things like, I've got to get them all. I've got to get all these Christians. I've got to put them to death. I've got to punish them. I'm going to see all of them put to death. I'm going to see all of them put to the same death that this Jesus that they're following after had. That's what it says. It says he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. The first time Saul is mentioned is at the end of Acts chapter 7, where the witnesses lay down their clothes at his feet as they are stoning the first Christian martyr, a man by the name of Stephen. They're stoning him to death. That's the first time we meet this man, Saul. And then reading on in chapter number 8, we can see it says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death," talking about Stephen. He consented. He was all right with these men stoning Stephen to death for what he had preached to them and what he had taught them. Amen. If you want a good reading, read Acts chapter 7, where Stephen begins to minister the word of the Lord to these people. And they didn't like what he had to say. They didn't like what he had to tell them. Amen. And there's times that we hear things that they don't jive with us. They don't resonate with us. We don't like to hear it, but we know that it's the voice of God. We understand that God is speaking to us. Amen. And that's where we come to the place where we have to yield. We have to give ourselves and say, well, you know what? Even though I may not think that way, and even though I may not understand it all, if God said it, I believe it, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to stand upon it. Amen. And so they stoned this man to death, and Saul was consenting unto his death. It says, "And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region in Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." That's who he was after. "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him." Verse 3 says, "And as for Saul, he made a havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison." Now, we don't understand that today. We don't understand what it's like to come to church and when we walk out the doors of the church that there's somebody there waiting on us to throw us into prison for practicing our faith. We don't understand what it's like to be persecuted the way that these apostles were persecuted, even being put to death for what we believe in. We have freedom in this country to be able to say what we believe, to be able to preach the Word of God as it states it in the Word of God without fear or favor. Amen. God forbid that it ever come to the day that's taken away from us, because I don't think that we would understand. I don't think that we would know what to do. Amen. But these people, these apostles, they faced persecution. Amen. Amen. They were thrown into prison. And the person that was leading the charge was this man, Saul. He had it in his mind. He's like, I'm going to get them all. I've got to get them all. None of them are going to escape. Because he thought he was doing God's will. He thought he was following after the will of God. And these followers were contrary to what God taught. That's what he believed. But he was wrong. In his zeal, he was sorely mistaken. Amen. This Saul is the same man that we read about in chapter 9. The same man who is breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord. And if we read on in chapter 9 and verse 2, we see that he goes to the high priest. It says that he desires of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he be found that if he found any in this way, any that were Christian, any that believed the teachings of Jesus Christ, whether they were men or women, he didn't care. He said that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. He went to the high priest and said, if I find anybody that believes this way, give me permission that I can bind them, that I can put them in prison them, and that I can take them to jail in Jerusalem. Amen. This man was a bad dude, wasn't he? Amen. This Saul was a bad guy. He did some pretty horrible things. You know, no matter how bad people may seem, you have to ask yourself, have they ever put a Christian to death? Have they ever brought somebody before the high priest to be put to death or to be imprisoned? This is not the type of man, not the type of person that you would want to mess around with. Amen. Saul was one of the church's worst enemies. He was. If you read about it, he was one of, if not the greatest enemy of the church after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you read about his conversion, though, there's something that changes in him. And we're not going to go into it all. We know the story about how after he had gotten these letters to Damascus, that he was on the road to Damascus, and the Lord saw him on his high horse, and he knocked him down off that high horse, and he saw a bright light, and he was blinded, and he said, Lord, who are you? And he answered him, he said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. He was saying, Lord, that's a capital L in your Bible. That's all capitals. That means Yahweh. That means God Almighty. He said, God, who are you? And he said, I am Jesus who you persecute. And Paul got a revelation of who it was that he had been, who it was that he had been condemning people to death for. He got a revelation of who it was that he was condemning and who he was against. He got a revelation of who Jesus Christ was. Amen. He saw that he was persecuting the man, the man that God came down, that he robed himself in flesh. He was going up against God. And can I tell you today that if you go against God, you're going to lose. Amen. No matter how big you think you are, no matter how much you think you know, you are going to lose if you go against God. Amen. But if you'll go with the grain of God, if you'll go with the will of God, if you'll go in the will of God, God will bless you. God will lift you up. God will prosper what you're doing. Amen. I think of a cat. Amen. And you pet it backwards. Amen. And it doesn't feel very good. It doesn't feel good to you. It doesn't feel good to the cat. Amen. But if you turn it around and you go with the grain, if you go in the right direction, amen, then it feels a lot smoother to you and it feels a lot better to the cat. Amen. If we're going against God, that's how it feels, because we're going against the grain. But if we're for God, if we're with God, if we're doing the will of God, amen, it's smooth. It's smooth sailing. Praise God. And that's what Paul learned. He learned it the hard way. Amen. Amen. He learned at his conversion that he had been doing what was wrong, that he had been going against the will of God. If you read about his conversion, when God calls Ananias to go and pray for him, or even the letters that he wrote to the various churches, you can see that it was difficult for people to believe that this man could have been changed. Amen. And we've all seen it before. We've all witnessed, man, that person's coming from a long way. That person's, God's going to have to do a mighty big miracle to bring that one in. Amen. But you know what? God specializes in mighty big miracles. Amen. Amen. I can attest to that, because I was a long way from God when I came to Him. Amen. And God got a hold of me, and God did a work on me, and such as are some of you. Praise God. Praise God. But these people doubted. They doubted that God was able to change, that this man was changed, that they had doubt in their mind. Ananias said, Lord, do you know what this man did to the Christians? Do you know what this man is capable of doing to me? But the Lord told Ananias, he said, don't be afraid. I've called this man to suffer for my namesake, to do something for me. I've called him. I have a purpose for his life. And I want you to go down and I want you to pray for him that he might receive his sight. And Paul did. He received his sight, but he received more than his sight. He received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Praise God. Praise God. Ananias went down and God shook Saul and made him see things differently. The Bible says the scales fell from off of his eyes. And I don't believe that's just those scales of blindness of a physical sense, but the spiritual blindness that he had had, those scales fell off of his eyes. And he began to see things the way that God wanted him to see them. And he saw the one God in Christ Jesus. He saw that he came and robed himself in flesh for our sins and for our salvation. Praise God. Praise God, this man Saul began to see things differently. It made him reevaluate the way he had been living and the things that he had been doing. Praise God. And so in Philippians chapter 3, the verse that we read, we see this man changed. This man is no longer goes by Saul, but now he goes by the Apostle Paul, the man who wrote over half of your New Testament. Over half the books in your New Testament were written by this man. And he has a different attitude. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 12. Going back a verse, it says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus." If you will, what he's saying is he wanted to get a hold of what got a hold of him. He wanted to get a hold of the God that got a hold of him, that shook him and stirred him up. That God is Jesus. That's what stirred him. That's what knocked him off of his high horse on the road to Damascus. Amen. Verse 13, we read it. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." By this point, he had done so much for God, but he said, "I haven't attained. I haven't gotten to the place where I need to be." And he said, "How am I supposed to do it?" He tells you. He tells us how you're supposed to do it. How are we supposed to attain to what God has for us? He says, "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto these things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Praise God. Paul is basically saying, if I'm going to move forward, I've got to forget the things in my past. If I'm going to move forward in God and in the will of God, I've got to be able to get some things behind me. Praise God. I've got to be able to get them out of my mind. I've got to be able to get them out of my focus. Amen. And the devil's going to try to bring them back. And I've just got to tell the devil, they don't have dominion over me. They're in my past. They no longer have power in my life. Praise God. That meant that he had to forget about all the bad that he had done. He had to forget about all of his sins. And we read about it this morning. That was a lot. Paul had a lot to be forgiven of. Paul had a lot to be forgiven of. Amen. And some of you can say amen today. I had a lot to be forgiven of when I came to God. But when Paul repented of those sins of the past, and when Paul was baptized in the name of Jesus, and when he received the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, those sins were not there anymore. Those sins were gone. Their power was gone. They no longer had dominion over him. Amen. That's because when we are baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our sins are remitted. That means that they're washed away. They're blotted out. They're not there anymore. They're covered over. We can't see them anymore. They don't have power over us anymore. No matter how much the devil tells you, "Oh, well, you're just going to go back to that. You're just going to keep doing that. You can't do this." You just tell the devil, God covered it in his blood. God took care of it in the waters of baptism. Don't let the devil tell you that those sins still have power over you, because God's bigger than the devil and God's power is bigger than his power. Praise God. Praise God. When Paul repented of those sins, God forgave him. He washed them out. Amen. He washed them away to be forgotten forever. Praise God. I remember as I was thinking about this, I got to thinking about a time that I went with Pastor. And we met with a man who wanted to be baptized in Jesus' name, and we were excited. Amen. And Pastor, as he is known to do, began to share with him the scriptures regarding baptism and baptism in Jesus' name. And we could go to those this morning, and we don't have time, but the many places throughout the New Testament church in the book of Acts where every person was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, or in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Amen. Cornelius. Amen. All of these people, I'm not going to go into all of them. Amen. But all of these people were baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And he began to share these scriptures with this man. And when he was done, this man kept shaking his head, and he kept going back to the fact that his sins were too bad, that he had done too many things against God, that he had done too many wicked and evil things that God could not forgive him. God would never be able to forgive him of such things. And Pastor listened to this for a moment, again, as he is known to do, and he waited a moment before responding, and I remember that then he looked up and he said these words, and it took me off guard. He said, "Well, that's just pride. That's just pride." And I began to think to myself, okay, my mouth was probably open. My head was, I did a double take. I was kind of, how could that be pride? This man just said, "I've got too much sin." But just listen to me here today. This man was pouring his heart out. He was talking about the sins that he committed. But let me tell you today, there is nothing that is too big for God. There's nothing that you have done in your past that God cannot overcome. Amen. If people think that their sins are too bad for God to forgive, then they are diminishing the power and the ability of God. Amen. And you know what that is? That's pride. They're saying, "My sins are bigger than my God." And that's pride. Because nothing is bigger than my God. Praise God. Well, you don't understand, Brother Reed. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've experienced in my life. You're right, I don't. But God does. And the one that created the heavens and the earth and everything that's contained therein is big enough to forgive you of that little sin. Because you know what? To God, that's what it looks like. It's just a little sin. It's tiny in comparison to the grace and the mercy of God that overshadows and overpowers those sins of our past. Amen. Amen. We ought not to have pride. We ought not to go back to the things of our past. Because when we do, we doubt God. We doubt the ability of God. But rather, whenever the devil, and I'm not saying when, but I'm saying if, it's going to happen. Excuse me, I mixed that up. I did that the other day. If, but when. I'm not saying if it's going to happen, when it's going to happen. The devil is going to come to you, and he's going to say, "You know what? You remember how you used to do that? Well, you're just a good-for-nothing nobody, and you don't have any power over that, and you did it back then, and you're just going to go back to it, and you're just going to keep doing the same thing that you've always done." You know what you can tell him? You can tell him, "Devil, you're a liar. Devil, you're a liar." Because the Bible says, the Word of God says, that when I went down in the waters of baptism, when I died that burial, when I went down underneath the waters in Jesus' name, amen, that all of my sins were remitted. And I'm not just talking about the sins that you committed before you came to God, but the power of Jesus Christ, the power of that name, has the ability to remit sins even after you've come to God, when you make a mistake and when you mess up, amen, because it happens to every one of us. There is nobody here that is perfect. Amen. If you think somebody's got a halo and angel wings, amen, you're sorely mistaken. Amen. If I've got a halo today, it's held up by horns. Amen. Because I'm unregenerated flesh, just like you. But you know what I have? I have the power of God dwelling within me. I have the power of the Holy Ghost dwelling within me. And if we're renewed day by day, if we're renewed in the Holy Ghost, if we let God fill us again and again with His Spirit, we have the ability to overcome it again. And when the devil brings it back up, we have the ability to overcome it again. Praise God. You know you can't do it by yourself. The devil will tell you, "You can't overcome that." And you know what you can say? "You're right. But the God that dwells within me can. He can do it." Praise God. He has the ability. He has the power. It's nothing in us. Praise God. And let me tell you today, there's nothing in our past that God cannot take care of. Nothing. Nothing in our past that God cannot rectify, that He cannot fix. That's because His blood is more powerful than our worst sin. His blood is more powerful than our worst situation. Whatever it is that we give to God. Amen. He's more powerful. Amen. We sing a song, and I was thinking about it as I was preparing, and it's so very true. It says, "What can wash away my sins?" Amen. And some people may be there today. Some people may be saying, "What can wash away my sins? What can wash away all of this that I've done in my past, all the evil that I've done and all the things that I've done? What can wash away my sins?" It says, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Amen. I want to tell you today, if you're broken, If sin has broken you, you're in a good place. Because the blood of Jesus is in this house today. The precious gift of the Holy Ghost is in this house today. Amen. It has the power. It has the ability to wash away your past. To wash away your sins. To make you whole today. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Turn there with me today. First John chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. Does your Bible say all sins? Okay, I just wanted to make sure it wasn't just mine, that I didn't have a different version. All right? So it cleanses us from all sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But, it doesn't end there, thank the Lord. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousnesses. That's what repentance and baptism in Jesus' name does. Amen. He's going back. He's reaffirming repentance and baptism in Jesus' name. He says, if we confess our sins, amen. That's repentance. Amen. God, I did this. God, I'm ashamed of this. God, I'm sorry. But it's more than just asking God to forgive us. It's more than just confessing them. It's forsaking them. The Bible says he who confesses and forsakes his sins. So it's saying, God, I did this and I'm ashamed of it and I'm sorry, God, but I'm not going to do it anymore. And I'm going to do an about face and I'm going to turn away from that thing that you're not pleased with. That's what repentance is. Does that mean that you're never going to make a mistake? Praise God. If you figure out how to do that, amen, you need to fill some people in, all right? Because that's not reality. It doesn't mean that you're never going to make a mistake. It doesn't mean that you're never going to fall. It means that when you do, that you pick yourself back up and you turn yourself back around and you put your eyes upon God and you look toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. And you do an about face. Praise God. And baptism in Jesus' name remits those sins that we've given to Him. Psalms chapter 103 and verse 12. So what happens to those sins when we go down in the waters of baptism? What happens when we go down in that water? Where do they go? Does the water just get really dirty? And then I've seen it, okay? That water does get dirty, but we drain it out. We get clean every time, all right? But that's not where they go. Psalms 103 and verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Amen. That means if you're all the way over there, your sins are all the way on the opposite side of the world, the universe, wherever you want to say. They're so far away from you. And how can they have control over you if they're that far away from you? The only way they can have control over you, if you let them. If you allow them to take control over you, because you have the power inside of you if God has filled you with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul understood this. He experienced it for himself. All the things that God had forgiven him of, they no longer had any control. They didn't have dominion over him anymore. That's why he's able to write in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 17, very familiar verse of Scripture. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And let me just double check to make sure your Bible is the same as mine. Does your Bible say all things there as well? All things become new? It doesn't say some things are going to become new. Well, this and this and this, but not this part of it. Does it say most things? Well, everything but this one. If you were to look it up in the original, I did actually a long time ago, and it's very profound, I want to tell you. If you look up the original definition there of the word all, it literally means all. I know that's deep today. Don't anybody get a headache, all right? But it literally means all, everything. It means all things are become new. Praise God. Praise God. I want God to make every part of me new. And you know what? That's not just when you first come to God. That's a lifelong journey. Amen. God, make me new. I pray that many times. God, make me brand new. Well, Brother Reed, I've been coming to church. I've been living for God for 17 years. Oh, well, praise God. You know, he might have something figured out. I don't have anything figured out. You know what I've got figured out is that the more I think I know, the less I really know. And the more I understand that he knows everything. And I lean upon him. And I trust in him. And I don't lift myself up, but I lift him up. Praise God. That's because I'm a new creature. And the old things are passed away. And the old things have to continually pass away. They have to die. Because we don't want them as a part of our life anymore. We don't want those old things to come back and haunt us later on. Paul said, I'm forgetting the things which are behind, and I'm looking to the future. I'm looking to what God has for me. All the old things in our past no longer have control over our lives, no matter how bad they may seem. Whatever the things are that we have done, or if I could take it a step further, things that have been done to us. Amen. I'm not just talking about the sins that we've committed, but there's things in our past that have been allowed to happen or that have happened to us, and we don't understand how this could happen. Why would God, I know I've heard people say that, why would God let this happen? Why would God allow this to happen? Amen. And people misunderstand, they don't understand God, they don't understand the workings of God. Amen. No matter how bad something in your past may seem, no matter how bad someone's done you wrong, amen. Let me tell you today, God is able to forgive. If God was able to forgive Saul of all the evil that he did in the New Testament church and to these New Testament saints, surely he's able to forgive you of everything that you've ever done wrong. And surely if God is big enough to do all of that, he's big enough to help you to move on from a difficult past, and to help all things to become new in your life. Amen. It's not just our past. Our past doesn't just involve the decisions that we make and the things that we do, but our past, it compromises of things that people do to us and things that have occurred in our past, hurts and pains and struggles that we've gone through. Those are all a part of our past. But those are the same things that, as the Apostle Paul said, I've got to put them behind me. I've got to get them behind me. Because they don't do me any good. It doesn't do me any good to hold on to them. It doesn't do me any good to hold on to bitterness. It doesn't do me any good to hold on to pain and to struggle. Oh, well, people feel sorry for me when I tell them about it. You know who I want to feel sorry for me? God. I want him. I want his mercy. And I want his grace. So I've just got to say, I'm going to put this behind me and I'm not going back to it. I'm not going to let the devil bring it back up, but I'm going to give it to him. Praise God. And I'm going to turn my eyes around and I'm going to face towards God. What we need to do is what Paul did. We need to forget what is behind us and we need to press forward to that which is before us. And let me tell you today, God has a great future for every single person under the sound of my voice today. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose. You're not here by coincidence. You're not hearing me by coincidence today, but God has a bright future for you. But I want to tell you today, the only way that you're going to get to that bright future is if you can let go of the past. If you can let go of what's behind you and look ahead. Look, put your eyes upon the mark. Put your eyes upon the prize. Praise God. Praise God. God has something beautiful prepared for each and every one of us. And I'm not just talking about heaven, and we could talk about that all day long. Amen. And I'm not downplaying that. But God has the best life in this life as well for you. God has the best life as you're walking in this body of flesh. You can have the very best life possible because of God and because he has it for you today. He has it for each and every one of us. Don't doubt. I feel like the devil's trying to cast doubt on somebody right now. I feel like the devil's trying to tell somebody, well, you're not good enough or you can't get to that point. You can't get to that place. You know what? The devil is a liar. Amen. Every single one of us, God died for you. God shed his blood for you. Amen. Specifically for you. Amen. And you need to accept that and you need to allow God to cover you with that blood and to wash away all those sins. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse 22. Turn there with me today. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. It says that you put off concerning the former conversation. That word means lifestyle. The former conversation means the former lifestyle. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man or woman, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him an opportunity. Don't give him a foothold. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. It says, we don't need to steal anymore. We need to work for what we've got. Verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Amen. In another place, it talks about evil and good coming out of the same mouth. And God said it ought not be so. If we're going to say, I love God and I praise God and I bless God, amen, we say that, we ought not to be saying negative, cursing words and things that are negative against Him. Oh, well, I don't have the power. Well, God can give you the power. Amen. God can help you to control that tongue, that little red devil behind the white pearly gates. God can give you the ability to control that tongue. Amen. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Praise God. You know, I feel like I've been forgiven of so much. And I know that there's others here today that could say amen to that. I don't feel like I deserve it. There's nothing that I've done to deserve it. I don't deserve the mercy of God. I don't deserve God's forgiveness. I don't know why God chose me. I don't know why God called me. Amen. But I'm so glad that He did. I'm so glad that He did. I'm so glad that He called each and every one of you to that place of repentance, that place of giving your life to God. Amen. And as God has forgiven us, we need to forgive others. Amen. And we need to cast it as far as the east is from the west. Amen. That's what God does to our sin. When He forgives our sin, He gets it as far away from Him as possible, as far away from you as possible. So when we forgive, we need to follow His example, and we need to get it as far away from us as possible. It's a hard order, isn't it? I can't do it. I don't have the ability. You're right. Just like so many things, you don't have the ability. But God does. And the Holy Ghost dwelling within you has the ability. Thank you, Jesus. God has forgiven each and every one of us. And someone could shout hallelujah to that today. Praise God. I often think about that. Why? How? I don't understand it. But it happened. And I'm thankful. Probably one of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. Amen. We're not going to go into all of it, but if you were to read the story, we can read about all the negative that happened in this man's life, and he had a lot of bad stuff happen to him. To think about all the hardship that he endured and all the turmoil that came his way. He had it pretty bad. Amen. He was sold to slavery by his own family. Amen. He was thrown in prison because he was wrongfully accused. He was forgotten in that prison, even after he blessed somebody else. And you know what? Joseph had every reason to give up. He could have said, you know what? It's not worth it to live for God because this happens if you do. He had every reason to lose faith. But you know what? He never lost his faith. He never gave up hope. He always trusted in God. He never stopped trusting in God. And when God brought him up out of that prison and he was elevated to a position of authority, he practiced the same thing that the Apostle Paul did. He forgot that which was behind, and he looked to the future that God had for him, that God had prepared for him. Well, why would he have to? Why would God allow him to go through all those difficulties? Why would God allow him to go through all of that? Why would God let that happen? Because God had a brighter future in store for him. Amen. Genesis chapter 41 and verse 51. I want you to see this today. Joseph, after he was risen to a position of authority, was given a wife. And we know, if we were to read it, that they had two children. Does anybody know their names? Ephraim and Manasseh. Good, very good, Chris. You do not want to play Bible trivia against Chris. I want to tell you that right now. He knows his Bible trivia, all right? All right, Ephraim and Manasseh. Genesis chapter 41 and verse 51. It says, and Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh. And it says, for God said, he hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. He made me forget everything that was in my past, all the negative that had happened in my past. Verse 52 says, and the name of the second called he Ephraim. It says, for God hath called me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Forgetting that which is behind and looking towards the mark and the prize that's in front of me. Joseph understood it. He understood that he had to get his past. He had to get all the negative that was behind him. He had to throw it behind him and say, I'm not going back there again. Amen. I'm not going back there again. Amen. This is not my notes. I was just thinking about this. I remember a long time ago, I was studying out how when the children of Israel were brought out of the land of Egypt, how God brought them through on dry ground. You know the story. And then how when they came into the promised land, that Joshua and the priests, they carried the Ark of the Covenant across, and that the waters parted before them and they went through on dry ground. Well, let me tell you today, if you're going to go back, your feet are going to be getting wet. Because God's not going to part the waters for you to go backwards. God's not going to part the waters for you to go back to your past and for you to go back to your former sins and your former lifestyle. Amen. God made a way for them to come through, and God made a way for each and every one of us to come through. Praise God. Paul said that he had forgotten those things which were behind. And once he started reaching forth unto those things before, once he started moving in that direction, once that forward momentum had begun, he said, I press. That doesn't mean a haphazard, take it or leave it. Oh, well, if I get there, I get there. If I don't, I don't. No, he said, I press. The same zeal that Paul had when he was persecuting the Christians, he had for teaching and ministering the Word of God. He had for doing the will of God, for making it all the way to heaven. And he wanted to take as many people as he could with him. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. We need to get that past out of our minds. You need to get that past out of your mind. Get that old shortcoming out of your mind and don't let it come back in. Don't even entertain the thoughts. Don't let the devil bring it back into your mind. Trust me, he's going to try to. But you just tell him it's under the blood. You just tell him it's been washed in the waters of baptism. Praise God. I read a quote. Amen. As I was preparing this, I found this and I thought it was so very fitting. It says, you do not move ahead by constantly looking in the rearview mirror. The past is a rudder to guide you, not an anchor to drag you. Amen. And then it says, we must learn from the past, but not live in the past. Amen. Our past shapes us. And you know what? Nobody here today has the ability to take away something that has happened in our past. Something traumatic, something bad, something that we've done, something someone's done to us. We don't have that ability. We can't go back in time and say, I wish this never happened. We can't change that. We have no ability to change that. And you know what? We have no ability to change that person if it was somebody that hurt us. What we do have control over is what we're going to do with it. Are you going to become bitter or are you going to become better? Amen. Are you going to allow God to use this to shape you into something that He desires for your future? And trust me, God knows better than we do what He has, what's best for us. Amen. Or are you going to be bitter and cling to it and hold on to it and say, you know, this is all I've got left of this and I'm just not letting it go. I'm letting it go. Throw it over your shoulder. You know what? Turn around for just a second and chuck it as far as you can. Get it away from you. And if it tries crawling its way back, give it a good kick. Because that past has no control over you anymore. Amen. Everything we've experienced in this life has happened to us for a reason. And you know what? And especially with bad things, I believe it's hard for us to understand why. We don't understand why would this happen? We're given a choice of how we're going to handle our past. Like I said, we can get bitter, which often leads to us blaming God and blaming others. I heard it said, maybe it was Pastor, I think it was, that said this, and it stuck with me all these years, that when you point a finger at somebody else, you're pointing three fingers back at yourself and you're pointing one at God. It's a good way to remember it. If you're pointing out the faults in somebody else, you've got three faults that you need to pick out on yourself, and you're blaming God for something that He didn't do. Amen. But we have the choice today. Do we get bitter? Do we take it out on those that are around us? Do we blame God? Do we blame others for something that they had no control over? Or do we get better? Do we realize that all things, and that's another one of those all words in your Bible, and it means all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are the called according to His purpose. Praise God. I want to ask you today, are you letting your past lead you closer to God and to His will? Or are you letting your past weigh you down? Are you letting it keep you from where God desires for you to be? Because no matter how high you feel like you are on the mountaintop with God, it's like we get to one tip-top peak of the mountain and we look up and there's one that's 10,000 feet above that one. We think we've made it. We think we've arrived. We're way up here, but God has a higher place for us. None of us will have arrived until we make it to heaven. So until then, we need to press. Amen? Amen. As Sister Reed comes, I want to read Psalm chapter 103. And I know I read part of it, but I want to read the verses leading up to verse 12 that we read. Psalms 103 and verse 1. A psalm of David. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. If you don't want to forget something, don't forget about how good God is. That's something we need to remember. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. That's the God I serve. Says, He will not always chide, neither will keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Can you say praise the Lord for that? Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. If I got what I deserved, I would have to literally die for my own sins. But you know what? He died for your sins and for my sins so that we didn't have to. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Amen. We need to get our eyes and our focus off the past today. Don't let it dictate you. Don't let it rule you anymore. If you're allowing it to cloud your mind, get it behind you. Give it to God. God said, I tell God, I don't need this anymore. I don't want this anymore. Take it out of my mind. Take it out of my remembrance. The Bible talks about bringing every thought into subjection unto him. Well, those are the thoughts that you need to bring to him. And when that devil comes around and he says, you know what? You did this and you did this and you did this. You need to ask God, say, and I've done this before. I said, God, I bring every thought into subjection unto you. I give this thought that's going through my mind right now unto you. Well, it's just a thought. I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm just thinking it. But out of the abundance of the heart, amen. If you leave it in your mind, if you allow it to dictate what you're thinking, it will not be long before it will be reality. So you got to get it out of there. Praise God. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. We need to fix our eyes on heaven. That's the mark that Paul was striving for. That's the bullseye that he was aiming for. If you throw a dart, amen, that's the bullseye. That's what he was aiming for. Seemed like a small target, amen, but as he gets closer and closer, that target gets bigger and bigger. Praise God. And when we make it there, there's going to be a prize waiting for us. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Amen. I know this is a little different. Amen. I do not know of any situation, and I am not preaching to any situation that I know of. I want you to know that I'm following after what God laid on my heart. And I feel like there is somebody or several somebodies here today that the past has been trying to creep back into your mind, that the past has been trying to tell you, I can't do it, I'm not good enough, I don't have the power. Let me just tell you today, amen, God has the power. God has the ability, and he has it for you. He has the Holy Ghost for you today. Amen. Let's come. These altars are open. Let's pray together. Let's seek the face of the Lord together. Amen. Just come and give it to God. Come and lay your past upon the altar. Come and give it to God and let God have it and let him take it away from you so that you can set your eyes upon the future. Oh, as they sing this morning, let's come and let's pray. Get a friend and let's come and pray this morning.